It's a great day to be in the house of the Lord. It's a great day to be a part of the body of Christ. It's just a great day. Amen. Okay. Man, we need this today, but I had some graphics to show you, but I'll describe them to you with my flowery speech. But we're going to continue this week our series that we started the first of the year called If It Is To Be, It's Up To Me. We're talking about several different things. We're talking about the importance of setting goals for our life. You know, if you don't ever set a goal, you're not going to go anywhere. You're not going to accomplish anything. So it's up to us, it's up to me to determine my life. It's not up to God. God has given us everything that we need. He's put within our grasp all of His blessings. You know, we talked about the seed and the soil and the sun and the rain and the seasons, about our abilities, our talent. Last week we talked about our brain, what a marvelous thing that He's given us. And your brain is capable of many, many things, far beyond what we use it for. You can't exhaust in one lifetime, probably in three or four lifetimes, you can't exhaust the memory capacity of your brain. God, He did exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we need. And it just seems that humanity as a whole has done exceedingly, abundantly below what our potential is. And we can change that. I said we can change that. We should live contented lives, but we shouldn't live lives that we're happy with where we are. With so much that there is with our relationship with God, our life, our purpose in life, we need to continuously be growing and going forward, not standing still, and definitely not going backwards. Amen? We need to be growing. And if it is to be, it's up to me. We've talked about the spiritual part, how that it's foundational to everything that we do. You know, you can have success outside of God, but it will only take you so far. Because the eternal part of it won't be there. But if it's based on our relationship with God, if it flows out of our fellowship with God and our relationship with Him, it can have eternal consequences that are good. And if it's apart from God, it may bring us some comfort in life. It may bring us some financial success. It may bring us some temporary happiness, but it won't produce anything of eternal value. So that's the most important thing, that we have a relationship with God, and not just have a relationship with God. You know, you work at marriage. You have to work at marriage. You get married, you're beginning. That's not the end, that's the beginning. And it needs to grow from there. You know, in marriages that don't grow, many times they don't last. And so our relationship with God begins when we make Jesus Christ Lord of our life. And we all have to do that if we're going to have any kind of eternity that's going to be good. Amen? And that's the gospel. You know, Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. But even beyond that, I mean, if all we do is go to heaven when we die, we've missed it. Because God has entrusted with us a trust, a stewardship, a management of all of these marvelous blessings that He's given us, all of these things that He has put in our lives. And we're to take those and manage those and make those work in a way that it not only blesses us, but it blesses humanity. The church should be the greatest blessing to humanity. That's why God conceived the church. It's not so that you'll have something to do on Sunday mornings. It's not so that you can come and be entertained. It's not so that you can just come and sing. All of that's part of it. But listen, it's bigger than that. We are to be the avenue to bring blessing to the world, to those who are hurting, to those who are in trouble, to those who are disenfranchised. It is our responsibility as believers, not just the ministry of the church. Well, it is the ministry of the church, but a lot of times we think it's only what we do through the organization. No, it's what we do through our personal lives is what matters. It's what you do on the job. It's how you do your job. It's how you affect people and interact with people on your job. That's the important thing. So the spirit, if it flows out of the spiritual, we've talked about the mind, but today we're going to talk about emotions. Emotions. You say, well, what does that have to do with anything? It has a lot to do with everything. When God made us, He made us spirit, soul, and body. Okay? And that is the important order, too. Spirit, because that's how we know God, is through our spirit. Soul, which is the mind, we talked about the mind. The will, that is our power of choice. And the emotions, that's your soul. And it's interesting that human behavior flows from three main sources: desire, emotion, and knowledge. All of our behavior, really it flows out of our soul. Your soul is the seat of your personality. Your soul is what makes you, you. It's what makes Rodney Jarrett, Rodney Jarrett. You are, your personality is seated in your soul. And that has to do with desire, emotion, and knowledge. And it's important that we realize that. Here's the most important commandment. Listen to this. The most important commandment is this: you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart. That's your spirit, soul. With all your soul, that's your mind, will, and emotions. All your mind and with all of your strength. That's your physical body. That's your physical energy. That we're supposed to love God with our whole being. So here's what we need to do. We need to understand our emotions. We need to understand our emotions. And there's a couple things that we need to say here. Number one, understand this, that God has emotions. God is an emotional being too. He is an emotional being. See, God feels joy. He feels love. He feels, I guess God feels blessed sometimes. I think He's blessed by us. He feels fulfillment when He pours His blessing out upon us, when He shares who He is and what He is with us. But listen, God also experiences anger. So God has emotions. God has emotions. Here's the second thing that we need to understand: that my ability to feel is a gift from God. My ability to feel is a gift of God. Emotions were not given to us to be a curse to us. They were given to us as part of our being to be a blessing. It's a gift of God given to us. And what are we supposed to do with our emotions? We're supposed to manage our emotions, and we can turn our emotions toward God. See, here's the thing. When God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness," God is a spirit. He does have emotions. So He made us spiritually and emotionally in His image and in His likeness. Now, of course, there are two extremes. There's usually extremes in everything, isn't there? There's extremes in everything. One extreme is called emotionalism. The other one is called stoic. Now, one of them says this. Emotionalism says that the only thing that matters is how I feel. That's the only thing that matters. Totally living by emotions. Now, let's give you a couple illustrations here. Let's say that we were able to lobotomize man. That we were able to take his mind, I'm not talking about his brain, I'm talking about his mind and his will away from him. And he did everything emotionally. See, I'm giving you a picture of what emotionalism looks like. First of all, man would cease to be human. The thing that God has given us, mind and will, distinguishes us from lower animal. Hey, we're not animals. Did you know that? We didn't come from animals. We're not animals. But the thing that distinguishes us from the lower, from animals, is our mind, our reasoning ability, and our ability to choose based on a logical thought process. But let's say we take that away, and we have an emotional being that He makes everything that He does based on His desire, how it feels. You know the old saying, if it feels good, do it. There are people who live that way. We cease to be human. In fact, we are no longer at the top of the order, because there are animals that have they have keener senses than what we do. Some have keener smell, keener eyes, keener hearing, keener instincts. Why does a goose fly south? That's his instincts. You know, a goose doesn't fly west in the winter. A goose flies south. South. Why? Is it because he thinks, oh, it's getting colder. I think I need to fly south. I choose. No, he does it by his instincts. We don't have those kind of instincts. We have a will. We have emotions. But if we remove those from man and the only thing that matters is emotion, then we cease to be human. And the more that we live that way, that we allow emotions to override our reasoning abilities and allow it to influence our choices totally, the less human we become. And we see human beings who totally live their lives. If it feels good, do it. No matter what the circumstances are, just do it because it feels right. And what they do is they destroy their lives. See, we need balance in our lives. See, emotionalism is like a family that would turn everything over to their two-year-old child. Now, can you imagine? I had some graphics for you, but they're not working right now. But can you imagine turning the kitchen over to your two-year-old child to prepare the meals for you, for your family?